Satan has stolen something from us that I think we ought to wrestle back. And all the things that I never thought Satan, or I say I never thought, that we would not think Satan would steal from God's blood-washed, born-again people, it's the thing he's stolen. The devil has stolen miracles from God's people. In our generation, we are seeing probably as many miracles performed by the devil as we're seeing performed by God. And it doesn't have to be that way. Satan has stolen from the church of Jesus Christ the doctrine of miracles. When our Lord was here, I think you'll agree, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He caused the lame to walk. He caused the deaf to hear. Now, bear in mind, he didn't heal all the sick. He didn't cause all the deaf to hear. He didn't cause all the blind to see or the lame to walk. But the truth is, he did heal the sick. He did raise the dead. He did, now bear in mind, he did not raise many dead people. The great majority of the people who died, our Lord did not raise. And the great majority of the deaf people, our Lord did not heal. And the great majority of the blind people, our Lord did not return their sight. But he did. Now, bear in mind this. Some of the finest folks in the Bible were sick. I'm not saying it's always God's will to heal the sick. The Apostle Paul came to God three times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he asked the Lord to remove the thorn that he had in his flesh, some kind of a physical malady that he had. And the Lord did not do it, but he said, I'll give you grace to bear it. God does not always heal the sick. Paul, who was given special gifts of healing, it is said of Paul in Acts 19, the Lord wrought special miracles at the hands of Paul. And yet Paul wrote Timothy, his favorite preacher boy, and said, Timothy, drink a little wine, which in that particular case meant simply grape juice, for the stomach's sake. Somebody says, how do you know it's grape juice? Because it said it's for the stomach's sake, and alcoholic beverages, not for the stomach's sake. And then he also said, Trophimus have I left in Miletus sick. The beloved Epaphroditus was sick. But I'm saying, our Lord did heal the sick, did he not? He did raise some dead, did he not? He did cause some blind people to see, did he not? He did cause some deaf people to hear, did he not? And didn't he say in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go to my Father? You'll forgive me, but I'm not willing to leave all the miracles to the devil in 1975. I'm not willing to say, just let the devil perform his miracles and let the liberals perform the miracles. No, I'm not willing to say that. Our Lord told us what to expect in this age. He said in Mark 16:15 that in his name we would cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Isn't that what our Lord said? Didn't he say that these signs shall follow those that believe? Then isn't our Lord promising us in Mark 16:15 and following that we can heal the sick and that we can take up deadly serpents and will not die and we can drink poison and not die? I don't think our Lord's talking about having a rattlesnake service. We're not going to have next Sunday morning or even in the fall program Rattlesnake Sunday and pass out rattlesnakes to all the people and say we're all going to get bitten and prove this verse. I think that's foolishness. I think that's absolute ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But I'm saying, did not the Lord say that? What are you going to do with this? Oh, you can say it's not for this age, except that nothing in the Bible says that. You know, it's an amazing thing. Nowadays, any time a professor in a theological seminary or a preacher in a pulpit finds out there's something he can't do, he can just say, that's not for this dispensation. I know preachers that tried to grow churches, didn't work, so they say, growth is not for this dispensation. This is the dispensation of loafing and deadness. No, you got a hole in your head, and I'm going to prove it to you in a few minutes if you'll listen carefully. In John 2:11, it said, the beginning of miracles, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it says, it mentions the gifts of the Spirit, and it says the working of miracles. The working of miracles is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And in verse 9, it says, to another, the gifts of healing. Now, did not God say that miracles was one of the gifts of the Spirit? And did not God say that to some is given the gift of healing? Yes, it is. Well, he says, that's not for this age. You may not think it is, but there's no verse that says it's not for this age. Well, he said, those gifts are not for this age. I see. One of the gifts is knowledge. Is knowledge not for this age? You said that the gifts are not for this dispensation. I see. One of the gifts is governments. Is government wrong in this age? One of the gifts is the gift of wisdom. Does nobody have wisdom in this age? No, you see what you do. You take those gifts you can't get, and you say, that's not for this age. But God doesn't do that. Now, the quicker we stop to realize that miracles can be performed in 1975, just like they could in 30 A.D., better off we're going to be. And don't explain it away. Accept it and believe it and expect it. And I'll say a few words about that in a few minutes. Now, let me say again. It doesn't mean anybody has cancer can get healed. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean anybody that's blind can see. It does mean some folks are blind that could see if they wanted to. And some folks are deaf could hear. All the deaf folks back here, many of them in our church, they all are not going to get their hearing back. A lot of them don't want it back. Did you hear the story about this fellow? Real story. Went to the Bill Rice Ranch. A man. He was deaf. And suddenly, he got to where he could hear a little bit. And I think there was some kind of operation. I'm not sure. But he got to where he could hear. And he heard so well, it bothered him and drove him crazy. And they put him in an institution. And it was there. He met Dr. Billings. And, no, that's not part of the story, though I'm sure that he may have met him while he was there. But, anyway, put him in an institution. And, so this man, and they said, we think if he could be deaf again, that he'd be okay. And they went in and clipped something back here and made him deaf again. And he clapped his hands and was so happy because he didn't have to hear anymore. And, but anyway, that's a true story, by the way. Mrs. Kathy Rice told me that story. God doesn't heal all the deaf people, but God wants to heal some. God doesn't heal all the blind people, but God wants to heal some. God doesn't heal all the sick people, but God wants to heal some. Young lady, back here, lean up against that pew. Wake her up, right beside you back there. Yeah. You sit up and listen to me while I preach. You can sleep at home at night. Good night. And that's for all you folks that are sleeping. If you want to go to sleep, go to bed. Don't go to church. And God wants to. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:28 it says, after that, miracles. In James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And in James 5:15 it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, you say, I don't believe in healing in this age. You may not believe it, but does it say so right here? As Dr. Rice says sometimes, you say, I don't believe that's what it means. Dr. Rice says, we'll take up that, what it means in a minute. Let's look at what it says right now. It says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And yet the truth is, we have left the miracles to the devil's crowd. And by the way, they can perform them. Did you hear what I said? They can perform them. Don't think it's strange in our generation that liberals are having healing services. Don't think it's strange that people that believe the Bible's not inspired by God and don't even believe the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and don't even believe being born again and know nothing about being saved are having healing services. And they're actually having folks healed. Don't think it's strange, because Revelation 13:13 says, and he, talking about the false prophet, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh him, maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Who does that? Elijah? No, he did it, but the false prophet. I mean, the fellow who's going to head up the National Council of the Churches one of these days, who won't believe the Bible, and won't believe the deity of Jesus, and won't believe in the new birth, is going to have miracles so he can make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Don't think it's strange that the University of Notre Dame has been having tongue services. Don't think it's strange that the University of Notre Dame has been having charismatic healing services. Don't think it's strange that people that pray through Mary, pray for the dead, take sacraments to keep them saved, believe in purgatory. Don't think it's strange that those people who at one time laughed at the Pentecostals and ridiculed anything that smacked of miracles. Now, I was over here at the health food store on the north side of Hammond one day, and a lady said, the man said, "Hello, Reverend Hiles." And I said, "How are you today?" And she said, "Are you Reverend Hiles? I've always wanted to meet you." And I said, "Thank you. What is your name?" She told me. And I said, she said, "Oh, I thank God for you. Praise the Lord. I've been in healing services and tongue services." And I said, "What church do you go to?" She said, "The Catholic." Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange that Christ rejectors are performing miracles. Revelation 13:14 says that the false prophet, I quote, "and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do." If you see somebody raise somebody from the dead, that does mean they're of God. If you see a garter on somebody's neck and a fellow takes it off, that does mean he's of God. If you see a fellow praying, looking to heaven and praying, saying, "Fire, come from heaven," and fire falls from heaven, that does mean he's of God. The honest truth is, one of the reasons that the supernatural is becoming so important in Satan worship, in movies, in liberal churches, in Roman Catholicism, and other places, is because we are preparing ourselves for the end time, which will be characterized by miracles at the hands of the false prophet and false teachers. By the way, the Bible says that this false prophet, this liberal, this head of the pink, red National Council of the Churches will actually build an image. Make a man. Make him with his hands. Build him. And give that image power to live, to breathe, and to talk. That's how powerful and miraculous that Satan is going to be and is in these days. The Bible says in Revelation 16:14, it speaks of spirits of devils working miracles. Spirits of devils working miracles. The truth, and here's the sad thing, the truth is, you're more likely to find a miracle in the devil's church these days than you are the Lord's church. And that's sort of sad to me. It's sort of sad to believe that the Antichrist and his crowd has more faith in their God Satan than we have in our great God of the universe. And so they've stolen the miracles. Now, does this mean these folks are of God? 10,000 times no, it does not mean these folks are of God. How do you know? How can we know who's of God and who's not? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, a fellow stands up and says, "I am going to bring fire from heaven." And he does. If he doesn't believe this book, he's Antichrist. If a fellow says, I'm going to heal a cancer, and here's a cancer sticking out of somebody's jaw, and a fellow says something and that cancer disappears or evaporates in your own before your own eyes. Fellow, been born again? Huh? You believe the Bible? No. Believe in Jesus as God's virgin-born son? No. He's Antichrist, you see. Now then, may I say this, and here's what I want you to listen to carefully now. God has available, in certain cases, miracles for this age. I want to list for you this morning seven, and I'll be brief, seven types of miracles that God does perform. And by the way, I'm not going to tell you the illustrations that happened 25 years ago. A lot of folks don't realize it, but right before our eyes here in First Baptist Church of Hammond, we have had some of the greatest miracles ever performed in the history of America. And I'm not talking just about salvation, though that is the great one of all. I'm not talking about building a great church. I'm talking about miracles that defy the laws of nature. Now, some miracles that God wants to perform. God wants to perform miracles concerning circumstances. Concerning circumstances. Let me give you an example. Some of you folks know this. Our deacons met and decided to start a cemetery. You know, we hate to lose members. And so, what we're going to do, we own a cemetery now. We're going to go out and have one of our pastors preach out there every Sunday, and Cal Hammond is there, and we'll have the biggest Sunday school in America. We got folks out there that are buried in our cemetery more alive than some of the churches around, church members around here that are sitting in pews this morning. In fact, more alive than a few of you. But our deacons voted to start a cemetery. We decided to take a few acres off Hiles Anderson College property out there and start the cemetery. Oh, but we got so tangled up in red tape and all permission and permits and so forth. We had to have public hearings, and we got so all tangled up. And so it just seemed like, oh my, we're going to do it though. We're going to do it. Start a cemetery. But it was tough, and it looked like it'd be a long time we could get started. So one day I was driving out to the college to preach, and I passed by a little cemetery called Memory Lane. Is that right? Memory Lane. Memory Garden. Memory Lane. Memory Lane. Doc, you keep out of the sermon. And let the fellows that know something, you go back where you were in that institution I mentioned a while ago. But anyway, I passed by a little cemetery. Beautiful cemetery. 40-some-odd acres. Just as lovely a cemetery as you'd want to see. And I had 5 minutes before chapel, and I thought, well, I think I'll back up and look at that cemetery. I backed up about 50 feet, drove in the little cemetery, drove around a while, and I got thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had this? And I prayed a prayer. Less than 5 minutes, I prayed, dear Lord, let us have this cemetery. Well, it's on Highway 30, one of the most expensive property in all this area. A property out there sells for $10,000 to $15,000 an acre. And so I just prayed 5 minutes. That was on Wednesday. Mr. Wilhelm over here at Hoosier State Bank decided he wanted to talk to me, and he called Miss McKinney and said, could I have an appointment with the pastor? I said, okay, I'll see him. Didn't know what it was about. On Friday afternoon, 3:15 or so, he came in, and he said, Reverend, now, I and a few other fellows own a cemetery. Well, my antenna went up. I said, yes, yes. He said, it's this Memory Lane Cemetery out on Highway 30. That's one I prayed for on Wednesday. And he said, we own the board. We're all getting up in years, and we feel like we'd like to sell it. Oh. And I thought, probably $500,000 or so. And they offered to sell us that cemetery, 41 acres, I think it is, 43 acres maybe, 43 acres at $10,000. That's $430,000. They offered to sell us that cemetery plus $35,000 in good, solid accounts receivable, plus $30,000 or so in the perpetual care fund. That means we assume $65,000 or so. Now, for $191,000, and we can pay for it any time we want to in the next 10 years. You don't think that's a miracle? Huh? You think it's just, I had never even thought about owning that cemetery before. And didn't even think about it until one day I saw it. And I thought, I'd like to have that. Lord, let me have that. John Penny suggested I pray for one of these massage parlors around here. And I'd rather burn them than pray for them. But I asked him what looked like on the inside, but he wouldn't tell me. But I'm saying, there is a God in heaven who can change circumstances miraculously. There's a man, if he's not in this room this morning, I'd be surprised. He's always here unless he's sick. If he's here this morning, he'd tell you the same story. He got saved, couldn't read. Opened his Bible and said, "Oh God, I'd sure like to read this book." And God immediately opened his eyes and let him know how to read. Now, I'm saying God works miracles through circumstances. But there's another, and that is, God sometimes wants to open some blind eyes in our day. Yeah. Now, I don't have a tent, and I'm not going into the healing campaign, and I don't have a bed sheet I'm cutting up into handkerchiefs and passing out around the country, and I'm not going to buy Humble Oil Company and fill little bottles full of oil and ship them around the country. But what? I got more respect for a person that does that than a person that doesn't believe God's powerful enough to perform a miracle at all. Our folks, many of you were there. I guess the man's here this morning. If he's not, he almost always is. Man in our church, we have a blind ministry in our church. And a man in our blind ministry, 57 years of age, blind for years. Sitting one morning, we're having services down the Civic Center when we're building this building. And all of a sudden he came down the aisle and looked at me and he began to smile and looked at me and he said, "Reverend, I can see. I was sitting back there a while ago and I suddenly looked down and saw my shoes. I can see. And the funny thing, we cut up a great deal around here, and one of the first things he said, "You're not near as pretty as I thought you'd be." Now, listen to me, that man now can see. He walks around this church like you and I walk around this church. Eyes are open. We didn't have a healing service. We didn't pass out any healing cloth. We didn't send any bottles of oil up and down the aisle. No, we didn't have a healing line. But in God's name, why don't we believe there's a God in heaven that can open blind eyes? You said, "Of the house, I'm blind. Can God let me see?" God can. God may not want you to see. It may be that it was said about the blind man in the Bible, that you may be blind to the glory of God, to show forth the glory of God. But in some cases, I think you'd show forth the glory of God more for folks to see. And don't you sell God short. That isn't all. God wants in our day to perform miracles concerning circumstances, blindness. God wants some folks to talk in tongues in our day. Oh, don't go to sleep now, because I'll get a reputation all over the country. Don't go to sleep now. I believe. Yes, I do. Is that what it says? He says, "These signs shall follow those who believe. They shall speak with new tongues." Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm not talking about this jabber that goes on nowadays where 40 or 50 people get in a room and talk in some kind of heavenly self-edifying language. I'm not talking about that. But I do believe there is a God in heaven that in 1975 can give people the miraculous power to speak in languages they never studied, in order that people that cannot understand their language could be saved and receive Christ their Savior. If that little lady out there is not saved this morning, and I'm sure she is, but if she's not saved that lady from grace, I believe God is perfectly powerful enough and able to let somebody in this room who's never taken Greek in his life speak in Grecian language so she could be saved, if God so chose to do it. Now, God doesn't choose to do it usually because we have a Greek teacher here in our college, and many of us have studied Greek. Now, I couldn't tell her how to be saved in Greek, but Mr. Jorgensen over here, Jorgensen certainly could. But you said, "Well, is that for this age?" Some of you folks have heard me tell this. After a while, we give the invitation, and so often during the invitation, people come up and say, "Pastor, we need a Spanish-speaking soul winner." And so I'll call for a Spanish-speaking soul winner. One morning recently, somebody came up and said, "We need a Chinese soul winner. A Chinese-speaking soul winner. No talking, please." And so I said, "Is there a Chinese-speaking soul winner here?" Well, no Chinese-speaking soul winner. It was here. I said, "Anybody can speak Chinese that could translate between a soul winner and a convert?" Nobody did it. And here was a lady right here that needed to be saved. She could only understand Chinese. We couldn't do anything. After the service was over, a fellow came up to me and said, "Brother Hiles," said, "glory to God, that Chinese woman got saved." Why is that good? "Did you find somebody to speak Chinese?" He said, "No, I didn't. But I decided she wasn't going to get out of here before I told her how to be saved in some language. So I just sat down and told her how to be saved in English." No, she couldn't understand it. And I started saying, "Now, this is the way you can know you go to heaven when you die. And she looks dumb and like, she's what I was talking about. And he said, all of a sudden, a big smile came across her face while I was telling her how to be saved in English. And she shook her head and pointed to her head and pointed to her tongue and pointed to her heart. And she was understanding what I was saying. I was saying it in English, but she was understanding it in Chinese. And said, she got saved this morning. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Bible tongues really is. Yeah, but now we go, hey, we say, well, miracles are not for this age. Yeah, I know, but deadness is. And lack of faith is. God would love to show himself strong if he had somebody to believe him again. Amen. He said, well, the house, have you gone off and on the deep end? No, I've been in the deep end for years. The shallow end is this tongue-talking, jabbering business where you folks get together and edify them and say, whoo, just talking the heavenly language and just float it away on a whoo. The Bible says you ain't supposed to whoo to folks get saved. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in whoo joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again with whoo, bring his sheaves with him. No, tongues in the Bible is, that, by the way, I can prove it to you. When unconverted, liberal, Bible-rejecting, Antichrist people can talk in tongues, you better watch out. You better watch out. I'm simply saying there are miracles that God will perform. Miracles concerning circumstances. Miracles concerning blind people. Miracles concerning tongues. By the way, miracles concerning the elements. The elements. I think there are times when God wants some Christian people to be in charge of the elements. I think that if somebody believed God, and if it were needed, God could still make the sun stand still for a while. I told this a couple of Sundays ago. We had a nationwide youth conference here. And this is one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life. We had a nationwide youth conference here. We had 5,000 or so teenagers and youth workers from all over America. They came here. We can't feed 5,000 people. So we got to the Civic Center a half mile down here and had them walk down there for lunch, walk back after lunch, walk down there for supper, walk back after supper. And they had, well, that means that they had to walk 2 miles a day to eat. Now, one thing could ruin that. What would that be? Rain. They had to feed them the first time on Wednesday at noon. I got no hair field at 10:30 in the morning. And it was raining. I mean, it was raining. It was torrential rain. And it drove all the way out to Hammond. Rained all the way. I mean, dark, black sky. And you folks remember how it just rained and rained and rained. And I got here about 11:30. 11:15, 11:30. And I thought, now this is going to ruin this nationwide youth conference. And these kids need to enjoy themselves and get on fire for God. And I opened my Bible to James where it said Elijah was a man like passions that we are, and he prayed it wouldn't rain. God closed heaven. And I went out in the rain. And I don't like to get out in the rain because when I get in the rain, both of my hair stick together and I look bald headed as a billiard ball. And so I, some of you folks do that in the sunshine. But anyway, thank God. But anyway, I went out in the rain, opened my Bible to book of James, and I said, Lord, I said, Elijah's like passionate like I am. That means Elijah got mad like I get mad. Elijah was a sinner like I am. I said, Lord, you shut the heavens for Elijah. Now, wouldn't you do it for me? I wasn't the only one that prayed, but I opened my Bible and I claimed it. Did you know it was when I prayed that, there's an avalanche of rain. Did you know in less than 5 minutes, not only had it quit raining, the sun was out? Now, wait a minute. Do you know that at that very moment, I've done some checking. At that moment, at noontime on Wednesday, it was raining in Dalton. It was raining in Harvey. It was raining south of Sherrville. It was raining in Portage and Hobart and Gary. It was raining in Chicago. And the sun was shining. I think I'm about to shout. The sun was shining right here in Hammond, Indiana. Now, wait a minute. It rained all week. They had the Western Open National Golf Championship over here in Chicago. It was out four of the 4 days. It was called off 3 days. Now, you don't call off a golf tournament because it rains. You call off a golf tournament when it floods. It was so dangerous, three golfers were struck by lightning over here on the golf course, and it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained here and here and here and here and here. We did not get as much as a hard sprinkle between here and the Civic Center. Huh? Show us a miracle. He is. He is. Don't you see what I'm saying? That miracle, a blind man can see. Don't you see what I'm seeing? A person got saved. The supernatural gift of tongues in this auditorium. Again, I'm not talking about this charismatic movement and the full gospel business association. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost soul-winning Bible tongues. That's what I'm talking about. Not this little flit-in, flit-out where everybody can get it. Good Lord, good devil. Love rattlesnakes and love cancer and love the devil and love hell. And talking to, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's born again, blood bought, separated, Bible-eating, fundamental people. God still has some miracles for us. Amen. That isn't all. Not all the elements. But God has some miraculous conversions. Miraculous conversions. You say, Brother Hiles, I have a husband that will never get saved. Don't you say that. No, don't you say that. That very attitude is what will keep him from getting saved. God wants to save some tough nuts. I told the folks Wednesday night, don't miss this. I was preaching last Monday night, Tuesday night, and Tuesday morning, Tuesday night in Florence, South Carolina. I go across the country and I preach to preachers. I try to stir preachers. I try to get preachers right with God. I try to get preachers to go home and build great churches. You know how I preach across the country. You see me preach at pastor school. Tuesday night, building seats 1,200, packed and jammed, extra chairs brought in, folks standing across the back, and over 100 preachers were there. Boy, I was glad to see over 100. Boy, you give me 100 preachers, and I'll tell you, boy, I'm like a little boy. In July, barefoot, with the ice cream man coming, and him got a dime in his hand. And, I licked my chops, and let me at those preachers, boy. I felt like the lions did in the early days when they were going after the Christians. But you know, strangely, something came over me. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit seemed to say, preach on Mephibosheth. I said, what? Mephibosheth? I've only preached one time in 10 years on Mephibosheth in a conference like this. And that's when no preacher showed up. That's an evangelistic sermon, Lord. He said, yeah, I know. I want you to preach on it. I said to the pastor, I feel eerie. God wants me to preach an evangelistic sermon tonight and all those preachers out here. And I know what you had me here for, to stir the Christians. And I got to preach to the sinners. I said, I feel sort of eerie. I got to preach to Mephibosheth. And I stood up and told the people. I said, I never preach on this to a conference like this. I don't know what's going wrong. But I've got to do it. And I turned the conference for preachers into an evangelistic service. And I gave the invitation. And several folks raised their hand for prayer. There's an older man sitting over here. Just looked like typical older man. And he raised his hand. A bunch of folks raised their hand. All of them came down except two. And he was one of them. And I said, bow your heads and close your eyes to the people. I said, look at me, you folks that raised your hand. That man looked at me. Big tears streaming down his cheeks. I said, God loves you. And I had such a burden in my heart for him. I said, God loves you. And God wants to save you. And I said, man, you're you're going downhill. Your hair has turned white, what you have. And I said, you're going downhill. You better do something. You may never feel this way again. And I said that, big old tears streaming down his cheeks. And he came out, boy, he came out like that and walked down the aisle and got saved. I was happy, but I didn't know much about what happened. But during the closing prayer, the pastor asked somebody else to pray. During the closing prayer, the pastor came over to me and he said, and he was trembling. He said, Dr. Howells, I know now why you preached on that. I said, why? You didn't know we preachers talk during praying. And I don't believe in it. But this guy needed somebody to talk to him. I said, what is it? He said, that man over there, that old man that came down, he said, you know who he is? I said, don't have any idea. He said, that man is worth $30 million. $30 million. He owns a chain of finance companies all over the Southland. I mean, $30 million. That's more money than I have. I don't have that much money. Now, folks in Hammond think I have that much, but $30 million. I told the pastor, if he ever becomes a tither, be sure and tell him that I was preaching when he got saved. You think that's not a miracle? You think it's not? It's a miracle when I don't preach to preachers. But it's a miracle when God gives me one sermon for one man who probably could change the whole course of that area down there. I'm saying God has miracles concerning circumstances, blind, tongues, elements, conversions. Hold it. I believe God still can raise the dead. You say, why doesn't he? He does sometimes. Let me ask you a question. You say, well, Brother Howes, in the Bible, there are several examples. If I were writing a Bible, I'd tell the examples too. But most of the people that died, our Lord didn't raise. Right here in our church, I don't know whether John Vargo's here this morning or not. John and Jerry Vargo. John is a deaf ministerial student in Howes Anderson College. Jerry just graduated from Howes Anderson College. He's going to work for our school system this year. Two fine boys, our bus kids, grew up in our church. Their dad got sick with cancer. Right up here to St. Margaret's Hospital. Was St. Margaret's St. Catherine? St. Catherine's Hospital. And John, the deaf boy, he'd been dead for hours. And John, the deaf boy, went in the room. They had his dad covered up, his body. They'd already called a funeral home. The funeral home had already come and taken care of the body. And John pulled back the sheet from his daddy and looked at him and said, Daddy? Daddy? Daddy! His eyes opened. And he lived for another day or so. For a while, he died again. They called the church and told us. We set the funeral service time. The funeral home came out. They wrote out the death notice. We announced it in the service. He died on Wednesday afternoon or so. We announced it in the service. Hours passed with his body covered up. And John went back in. And John, he said, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy! And his eyes opened again. He lived another day. Now you listen, don't you sell God short, folks. I'm a little tired of the devil doing all the miracles. I'm a little tired of the liberals having all the miracles. I'm a little tired of Antichrist having more power than Christ. And his people having more power than God's people. I'm not saying that God's going to heal all the sick, raise all the dead, open all the blind eyes for all the deaf, and most of our blind folks will stay blind, and most of our deaf folks will stay deaf. But let me say this, would God, we believe, is a God who could do it. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that you're going to see something in the next few years. There are some physical miracles I've been praying for mighty hard. We talked about one yesterday. Mr. Lanou had an appointment last night. We talked about a case in our church. I'm going to stand up here in a few months or a few years. I know as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit that God's going to do something. I don't mean just double the attendance in Sunday school. I don't mean have some miraculous conversions. I mean, listen, God wants to show himself strong if we had somebody to believe him. I got a letter from Texas the other day. I said, I had an envelope. Opened it up and there's another envelope. Opened it up and there's an invitation to a graduation service ceremony. And looked in there and there's a picture of a young lady. And the mother said, remember her? Wrote a note. Remember her? Said she had incurable cancer 17 years ago. And you anointed her with oil. 17 years before. That little girl had incurable cancer. The doctors had given her up. Terminal cancer. Gave her a few days. Bill Harvey and I went over and got a bottle of olive oil. The mother called us. We anointed that little baby girl with olive oil. And prayed, God, does she heal her? Now, I've done it before and God didn't do it. But I guarantee you one thing, boy. I'm not going to quit doing what God said just because God doesn't heal everybody. And that little girl graduated from high school this year. I was down in Texas and saw a young lady about a year or two ago about to get married when she was 4 years old. She had lost a kidney, cancerous kidney, and then she lost another had cancer of the other kidney, about to lose it. And the doctor said, one kidney's been taken out, the other kidney is quit functioning. She has a little while to live. Went on with oil. She got married not long ago. It's been now years and years ago. Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing? Don't you think it'd be a wonderful, wonderful thing if some of us start believing God again? I'm not saying that God's going to heal you because you're sick. I'm saying God could. And if I guarantee you one thing, boy, if God heals one out of 100, and I got it, I'm going to try to get first in line. Huh? I mean, if my eyes were blind and God heals one blind eye, two blind eyes out of every 100 people, I'll buy you one thing. I'm going to be the fellow that gets right there first in line. I'm going to leave during the closing prayer. I'm going to slip up and I'm going to slip to the seat right in front of the room, and while the bell's ringing, I'm going to be leading. I'm going to be the first one to gym class. I'm going to be getting that lunchroom line first. Now, let me say, we need some miracles around here. We've got to raise $2.5 million by January the 1st, or we don't have a college. I'm calling on my folks this morning to believe God for some miracles. It's going to take a miracle as great as any of these I've told you about today if we pay that college off. We now have less than $400,000 on that college. We've got to raise $2,100,000. In 1 year, we've raised about $400,000. Now, in less than 6 months, we've got to raise $2,100,000. We've got to knock on his door now. You've got to help me. I'm calling, and I'll be calling on our people to fast and pray at least one day a week from now on. I want you to fast at least one day a week. And you don't mean you pray all day, but just be in the spirit of prayer. And while you're cleaning the house, say, oh, God, give it to us. Oh, God, give it to us. And while you're driving the car, say, oh, God, about that $2.5 million. You know the college is for you. It's not for us. We're trying to save the nation. And, Lord, you're more concerned about saving this nation than we are. Oh, God, give it to us. Oh, God, give it to us. I'm going to call on you to fast and pray at least one day a week. And let's claim a miracle for God. And many of you this morning, you have miracles you need performed. I'm not saying God will. I'm saying God can. And I'm saying in many cases in this room right here, God wants to save that wicked, mean husband. And God wants to heal that cancer. And in some cases, maybe God wants to open some blind eyes. We used to sing a little song when I was in school. We sang the football games. We did it before, and we can do it again. That's not the tune, but those were the words. And we can do it again. Now, he did it before, and he can do it again, too. Yeah. Hey, the God that calls the Red Sea to stand in attention and salute while Israelites marched across on dry ground. That God is the one I talked to this morning. He's still alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How you say, I thought you were a Baptist. You must be a Pentecostal. Oh, fooey. Baptist folks were having miracles 1,800 years before there ever was a Pentecostal. I'm tired of all Baptists do is meet and worship, so-called. The Lord is in His holy temple. Yeah, I know He's there. And I think that's rather fitting that you'd say that, because that's where He is, up there in His holy temple at your place. But at First Baptist Church Hammond, we don't keep him caged up like that. We're going to bring him down here where we are and believe him and trust him. And every once in a while, we're going to have a fellow whose eyes are open. And every once in a while, we're going to have somebody talk in tongues, scriptural tongues, to get folks saved. And every once in a while, we're going to have somebody who has cancer going to get well. And every once in a while, we're going to stop the rain. You say, well, how's that? I tell you what, I got a garden needs watering. Would you make it rain this week? No, it's your time now. I've already performed. No. Every time I pray it quit raining, it doesn't quit raining. Dr. John Rice, he prayed that it would rain. That he needs some water for his farm. And he needed some rain desperately. Dr. Rice prayed all one Saturday it rained. and it didn't rain sunshine. And rain was predicted. And Dr. Rice couldn't understand why it didn't rain. But he found out the next day, a lady told him that her little boy wanted to go to the zoo or somewhere on Saturday, planned a trip to the zoo. And that little boy prayed all day that it wouldn't rain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve a God of miracles. The greatest miracle of all, of course, is that miracle when a person without Christ, plunging toward a hell without God, turns and receives Christ as his Savior, and Christ makes him a new creature, takes him to heaven when he dies. A little girl one time, her daddy had been so wicked and just got saved, she went to see a magician. And the magician pulled a rabbit out of a hat. No, not a hat out of a rabbit. That'd be a pretty good magician. Pulled a rabbit out of the hat. And he just changed things. And he said, what do you think about that? The little girl stood up and said, That ain't nothing. I've seen things better than that. He said before the entire crowd, what have you seen? She said, Jesus performed miracles greater than that. She said, my daddy got saved and Jesus changed whiskey and the little dresses for me. My daddy got saved and Jesus changed beer and wine and whiskey into toys and dolls. And that's what he wants to do to you this morning. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Would you pray, please?